introduce. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, sure. So, welcome everybody. It is hard for me to believe that we are 3 weeks away from our Eastern Region Tournament. Time has just flown by this year. So we're doing this as we do every year of having this webinar just before the tournament to make sure that first of all that you kind of review with us the things that you need to be doing to get ready for the tournament and what you need to bring with you and all that sort of thing. And also to have you have direct access to us if there's any questions or concerns or anything that we can do to help you get ready for the tournament in 3 weeks. So I'm Randy Burton. I'm your regional director for the Eastern Region. On the webinar with us is Lexi Groner. She is our tournament director. And Tom Bojanski is the one who's going to be going through the presentation. He's one of our board members and also our Problem 5 problem captain. And I'm also the Problem 1 problem captain. But as in all of the webinars and various things that we do, we cannot answer any questions from you about the problem specifically, like is it legal to do this or could our team do that? So I'd encourage you not to ask those kind of questions here. That there is a clarification process where you can answer or ask those questions and get answers. And I think we'll touch on that a little bit during the presentation. But if you have any questions about the local tournament and the venue and where things are going to be in parking and pop drop off and all that kind of stuff, we're going to cover that in here, but we certainly can talk about that and answer any questions that you might have. As we're going along, feel free to ask any questions that you would like in the chat or unmute yourself and feel free to bring up any topics or ask any questions as we go through things. So, all that said, I'm going to turn it over to Tom and let him go through the presentation for us this morning.
Thanks, Randy. And again, welcome to everyone. I know it's a busy time of year, and in terms of Odyssey of the Mind, and I'm sure you all have other things going on in your life, but today, for the next hour and a half or so, we'll be done by 11:30, but for the next hour and a half, we're available to answer questions and help. We're going to be ready on March 1st from an Eastern Region board perspective, and this time is to set aside to help answer to answer questions for you as you prepare with your teams. And before we get going with the slides, I do want to just a shout out to another shout out to Randy and to Lexi. There's a lot of work that has to be done to get ready for you and your teams. And Randy and Lexi have been doing an amazing job in helping in doing that and just getting ready for the tournament at Wakefield on March 1st. So if you see them on March 1st, tell them thanks. And that's always a nice thing. So what we're going to do is, let's see here, today's agenda. 3 weeks from today, hopefully you'll all be there at Wakefield High School. So what should you be working on and remembering as a team as we look at March 1st? So we're going to look at some big picture items, the long-term style spontaneous, a few program reminders, some tournament day reminders, and then take some time for your questions, and hopefully we can answer them. As Randy mentioned, he'll be monitoring the chat box. So if you have questions as we go through, just send in a chat request, and we'll try to address those. So a few big picture items. Again, Wakefield 3 weeks from today, right now, we'll be all at Wakefield High School, March 1st. And the so that's probably the key thing. So keep that in mind. Judges training, there's a lot of work to do to get people available, to make sure people are available to help judge your all the teams. And February 15th, so next week at this time, Lexi and Randy and I and several others will be training our teams of judges, and each one of you has lined up a judge, and or should have. If you haven't, I'm sure that Lexi has been in touch with you. But if you know, just keep that in front of the people that have been identified as a judge for you, and make sure that they are available on a week from today. I always like to just remember every time we get in front of you in these webinars is remember the main goals that we're trying to focus on for Odyssey of the Mind. You know, this is all about creative problem solving for our teams, for your team members, teamwork, collaboration, persistence. So, you know, every time you get in front of or your team gets together, just keep that in mind. That's what we are trying to teach our students is to be good team members, to work hard, to be creative. So, in the struggles of the journey to get to March 1st, you know, just keep that in mind. Take every opportunity you can to help teach your students and team members what it's all about. Keep working, keep reading your long-term problem. You're going to see that emphasized as we go through these slides. Keep practicing spontaneous. The spontaneous thing sometimes, and I've mentioned this before in webinars and emails and so forth, that spontaneous has a tendency at this point in the year to maybe fall by the wayside. You don't have time to work on it, but it's an important aspect of the tournament, certainly. And so just keep your focus on spontaneous. Again, we'll talk more about that a little bit later. Check ncome.org for all your tournament information. There'll be another reminder toward the end of the presentation to do that. But there's a lot of good information out on the website already about the tournament. So if you have questions that about the tournament, that would be one of your first places to check. So let's talk a little bit about the main components of the tournament at this point. The first one being long term. So you should all know by now that we do score. Your teams are going to be scored when you show up on March 1st. So long term is 200 points. Okay. So again, keep reading the problem. You'd be surprised how much you can learn about, oh, what should we be aiming for? Sometimes you get distracted, but the way to rein that in is make sure you as a coach and you and your team members are aware of all the problem requirements. And even later in the year at this point, as you see things coming together in your long-term presentation, you look at the problem, you say, oh, maybe we've missed something. Maybe we should be doing something differently. So just keep reading it. Just keep remind your team members to read the problem to make sure that you are solving the right things. Make sure that your team is, and related to that, make sure that you're doing whatever you can to maximize points. Section D is where you head for that. And make sure that you are aware of what the things that you're doing, are you trying to maximize points? Keep rehearsing. This is a time of year. Maybe back in November, December, you weren't so focused on that because you didn't have a lot to rehearse, but 3 weeks out, you need to start rehearsing and doing your run-throughs or whatever you call them, and making sure that you're aiming toward that 8 minutes, which we'll talk about here in a second. Clarifications, there's a clarification process. Randy mentioned that at the beginning. We're not gonna, don't ask us any questions today about, hey, is if we do X, is that gonna count? That's not what this webinar is for, but there is a process, and if and make sure you use it. If you have any questions or your team has any questions about your presentation is looking like, and is it going to be valid? So check for, there's two types of clarifications. There are some public clarifications. Every problem has a few public clarifications, and those are clarifications that Odyssey thinks are important for all teams to be aware of. So that is out there on the clarification site. And then the second type of clarification is the team specific clarification. Sometimes team you have a way to send a question in and ask for specific in a request for information on what your specific solution is looking like. So don't be shy with that. And but also know February 15th is the last day that you can actually send in a clarification, a team specific clarification. So be aware of that.
Yeah, and Tom, there was a question in the chat that I think is worth mentioning, and that was, when is the last day? The question was, when's the last day for general clarifications to be published? And the answer is, there isn't one. That CCI could post a general clarification at any time. However, in North Carolina, we have a 2 week period where if a general club pair A general clarification is published on the CCI website, and it's within 2 weeks of our tournament, then we don't hold the teams responsible for aligning to that particular clarification, if that makes sense.
And that's a good point. And does that anybody have any questions about that? If you do, just go ahead and unmute and ask, because that is a very, very important point.
Yeah, so you know what that means is, so let's say they publish a general clarification, you know, 10 days from now, that's just before our tournament, that says your narrator cannot be a purple alien, and you happen to have your narrator being a purple alien. Well, we would allow you to use the purple alien character at our regional tournament. However, at the state tournament, which was 2 weeks later, if you advance to the state tournament, we would make you for force you to align to whatever that general clarification is.
Right. That makes sense to everyone? Okay. So you've got 1 week. Don't be shy. You don't get penalized by asking in any way by asking clarifications. So if you're deliberating it over a particular part of your solution for more than a couple of minutes, and you really don't think it's answered by reading the problem or other clarifications or the program guide, send the clarification in, and you'll get an answer back. So just don't be shy. Remember that in your 8 minute presentation, which begins from when the judges say team begin, you have 8 minutes to present all your solution. The exception to that is in problem three and in problem five, you're allowed up to an extra minute to continue on. The judges won't stop you at 8 minutes on those particular two problem three and five, but there is a penalty, which is explained in your problem solution or the problem requirements, and also in the program guide. But there is a penalty for that, but you will be stopped at 9 minutes. So just keep working toward that when in your rehearsals. Aim for that 8 minutes. And Section B3 and E6 in the in each problem is going to describe that time requirement. This is not a requirement, but this is a suggestion, recommendation, if you will, that you have a repair kit handy to bring with you to the tournament. That doesn't it's not part of your cost form, but whatever that what you think you might need. If you're going to be repairing things on the way in from the parking lot, thing as you know, things break. So whatever you think would be helpful, put that in your repair kit and just know that it doesn't that repair kit does not is not part of your on your cost form. All right. Randy, any chats that need to be addressed before I move on to style?
No, we're good.
Okay. So style is part of your long-term solution, but it's a separate 50 points. So this would be a good time, 3 weeks out, to work with your team to figure out what you're going to put on style, on the style form. You know what, that's in section F of each problem. So make sure that you read through that. There, for every problem, there are two identified items that you've got to be working on, and then two free choice. So that can be anything that the team wants to decides on. And as long as those free choice items are not scored somewhere else in the problem. And we can talk a little bit about that if we need to. But so there's two identified items, two free choice, and then there's one kind of overall effect, which is item style item number five. And those all those items go on the style form. If you want more information about style and how it's scored and how you should select those items, pages 20 to 22 in the program guide provides a lot of good information. And as I mentioned already, that the one caveat is those the style items can't already be scored elsewhere in section D of the problem. I'll stop also. That sometimes causes some questions. And so I'll take a minute if anybody wants to unmute and ask a question, or Randy, I don't think there are anything, is there anything in the chat, but
Yeah, there's nothing in the chat, but I will say that I just very frequently, even at World Finals, I will see a team that kind of has something that's really, really, really awesome that they did a fantastic job on, and they didn't select it as one of their style elements. So just be conscious of that picking what those free choice items are. It is really important, and make sure it is the most creative, the most awesome, the best thing that they did, and all of the stuff that they have to whether it's a costume or a set or a prop or a vehicle or whatever, but just to help them, think about the things that are likely to get them the best score on those elements.
Benish wrote in, can one of the props be a style element? It could.
As long as it's not already scored.
And also just be aware, especially if you're a first time coach, we train our judges. Staging judge is the first person that the teams will see as they get ready to present their solution. And they're outside the venue and they're checking for all kinds of things. Things like all your team members have proper footwear, and they go through the forms. And if they catch something on a style form that, it's like, hey, this is already is inappropriate, they'll talk to the team. That's part of the staging process, is try to get them to correct it, and there'll be time there could be some time allowed for the team to make a change. So we want you as judges to be as successful as you possibly can. So we you need to be prepared, and then we're there to help clarify some of that stuff. So but just read through the program guide, that pages 20 to 20 through to if you have questions about style items. And also, the team members need to be selecting those style items, not the coach, not mom and dad, not grandma, grandpa. So this is all about the team. If there aren't any other questions, I'm gonna scoot on to the next page. So spontaneous is worth another 100 points. That's a totally separate part of the competition day. And as you know, there are three different types of problems that could be selected, that your team could compete in. Hands-on, verbal, or combination problems. The combination problem, there's just one that you do. That's our judging teams are putting those problems together now. You don't know what type it is until you get in on tournament day. So keep practicing all of them. That gets back to that original point I made several minutes ago about in the interest of all, you have several plates spinning at this point, and one of them should be just keep practicing spontaneous. So as you're preparing all your props and backdrops and costumes and all that, just keep practicing spontaneous. There is a spontaneous procedures document that is available. So just to help you prepare for tournament day, that's under the member resources, under competition info and forms. It'd probably be a good thing for you as a coach to go over that and then share any information with your team that you feel is important. We're going to talk a little bit about more about spontaneous in a little bit later as it relates to what actually happens on tournament day. But just know, hands-on verbal combination, keep practicing them over the next 3 weeks. A few OM program reminders. Team forms. Team forms are important to you. They're important to us too, but they're more important to you, that the forms that you prepare help us judge you and help you to get as many points as you possibly can. That's why we have the forms. Section H of the each problem description goes over, the forms that are needed. All the forms that you need, the blank forms, the templates are also available on member resources under competition info and forms. And what you need, and this is maybe the most important part of this whole presentation, is that you need to come prepared on tournament day with four copies each of the team list, which is identified and talked about in the program or the problem description, and the style form. And the reason we need four copies is that we have judges, and we want to give each problem judge and each style judge a copy of that form before your presentation, so that they know what to be looking for when they're watching your 8 minutes of magic. So we give each judge a copy of those forms, whether it's the team list or the style form. The cost form and the outside assistance form, we only need one copy. And the staging judge kind of goes through that and makes sure the actual problem judges and the style judges don't really need to see all that. So that's why we only need one copy of that form, the cost and the outside assistance. If you have sent in a clarification request, a team-specific clarification, and you have a response back, bring one copy of any clarification that you've received. The judges, if they need to, will reference that. So, if you have a copy, if you have a clarification that you received, go ahead and bring that with you. You don't, the general clarifications we don't need. We're aware of them as a team or as judges, and so we don't need a copy of any general clarification. I'm going to stop there and, full stop for right now and ask if specifically if there are any questions about that part of the forms. That helps. I don't see any chats out there.
I have a few questions just about like how specific to get on like the cost form and stuff. Like my kids, we were just sitting around like, what did you use on like all these things the other day? And they're telling me like sewing machine, saw, markers. I'm assuming anything that they've used to make it, but you'd sent there, they don't have to include. Is that correct?
Exactly. That's a really good question. If you read the program guide, there's a whole section on cost and, different categories of how you assign the cost. But the main thing is what you put on the cost form is the cumulative cost of what the judges see on tournament day. I always like to use well, for example, if you've broken a bunch of things throughout the year in your preparation, and you don't have to put the cumulative cost of all the stuff that you've used as you prepared your solution. The only thing that goes on the cost form is what the judges see on in that 8 minutes on tournament day. So included in that would be if you're using a saw or you're using a sewing machine, that wouldn't go on there. But if there's a costume that was created as a part of your and your sewing machine helped with that, it's the cost of the sewing machine. I'm sorry, the cost of the costume. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only what we see.
One other thing, you can on the cost form combine miscellaneous tiny little items into one line. So like nuts, bolts, screws, duct tape, hot glue, any of that kind of stuff. Don't sit there and give us every single nut and every single bolt and how many inches of duct tape. Just kind of summarize that into to a one line item and that'll be fine. That the other thing I wanted to mention is all of the forms that Thomas talked about here, every single one of those is available for download on the Eastern Region website. If you go to ncome.org and go to our local, Eastern Region tournament information, there's links there to all of those forms. So you don't have to kind of hunt for them on the main Odyssey of the Mind website. We have them right there for you.
Right.
So, and there's a question in the chat about shoes. So you do not need to include street clothes that the kids are wearing, whether that's blue jeans, t-shirts, shoes, etc., unless that particular outfit, clothes, shoes, whatever is really part of their solution. So if they're a clown and they're wearing clown shoes, the clown shoes got to be on the cost form. If it's just sneakers, no, they would not. And let's see. Yeah, save your copies so you get Natalie suggested save copies of your forms so you can use them again at states or at world finals. Very good suggestion. And so Lauren also said we're struggling with garage sale costs. How do you come up with those? So It's your best estimate of what you think you would likely pay for that item at a garage sale or at a flea market or something like that. We're not going to get real specific of you said $5 and we think it's $6. We're not going to get that granular with it. What we want to do, though, is see everything that we see, whether that's props, sets, vehicles, costumes, whatever, decorations, that kind of stuff. If we see it, we ought to be able to see it on the cost form somewhere. And if it sort of passes the test of reason, does that look like a reasonable cost that then that's all we would really expect? Then someone else asked, primary coach here when in the dance room, but maybe for good of the group, will kids have to carry props up the stairs and so forth? So all of the transportation of your stuff from your car into the building, down the hall, up the stairs, wherever, anyone on your team, parents, grandparents, other siblings, whatever, can help with the transportation in and out of all of that stuff. The one thing that I would caution, I would ask you to caution them with is ask them not to be tempted to fix something that's wrong. If in the process of transporting those items, something breaks, and trust me, this will happen, okay? If something breaks, the kids on the team need to fix it, not the adults or grandparents or teachers or whatever, okay?
And sorry, Randy, when they get up to perform, are we allowed as coaches to direct them like where to stand in front of the judges at that point? Like if they're like not really facing the right area, can we kind of tell them
No,
to move?
once no. So
Okay.
once the time starts, the kids are on their own for 8 minutes, and they're going to make mistakes sometimes, and that's okay. That's part of learning, right? But for that 8 minutes, sit on your hands, don't say anything, and just let them do their thing for 8 minutes.
So does time start as soon as they kind of start up the where, you know,
No.
up to the
So
stage? How
we will have a staging area judge who will help them with where they need to stand when so that they're
Okay.
ready to start. And in some problems, they may have to already place some things out on the course. For example, in problem one, the vehicle has to already be placed into the start area, but our staging area judge will help them with all of that. Once
Okay.
they're in the staging area, then and we're kind of ready to go. The staging judge is going to ask them if they are ready. So the staging judge, I'm sorry, not the staging judge, but the timekeeper. The timekeeper will ask them, "Are you ready?" They'll ask the judges, "Are you ready?" And then they will very clearly say, "Team, begin." And once they say that, then the 8 minutes starts.
Got it. Thank you.
I have a couple other things about the forms, and I apologize, Tom, if you said this. I was working on judging assignments while listening. For P1 teams, or sorry, Division One teams, coaches can fill out the forms as the team dictates to them. So you can't do it for them, but they can tell you what to put in. Not true for Division Two and Division Three. But also, most of these forms are fillable online. I highly encourage teams to use that tool if they're able to, so that judges don't have to worry about handwriting. It also is quicker, and then you can just print out four copies instead of handwriting four copies.
Right.
And we will also have extras at the registration table if you get there and realize you've left them all or you only have three copies. Come find us in the lobby of the high school where you check in. We will help you out with those. We can't fill them out for you, of course, but we will give you blank ones.
Right. Yeah, we what Lexi said is important. We again, if you fill them all out correctly and legibly and the right number, I mean, that really helps us as judging teams. But we've got ways to help you additional ways to help you out, and all that takes place in staging and so forth. So, but in terms of preparation, all these things are done, and help the team teach them skills about being ready and so forth. So, help us out that way. I'm going back up in the chat. There was a question not related to forms, but about timing of being in between long-term and spontaneous. You know, some teams will do long-term first and then do the spontaneous. Some teams will do spontaneous and then long-term. The nice thing about you know, where we are is that everything happens in the high school. We don't, you know, in the past we've had situations where, you know, maybe we've been at the middle school down the road, and you know, you got to move between the two buildings, but we don't have that this year. It's all in the high school. And but as Lexi, I saw that she mentioned, you know, she mentioned this in the chat, that we are aware. We know that you need time, and we build that into the schedule. So you know, we we'll make sure that you know, you'll have the amount of time to, or we have made sure that you'll have the correct amount of time in between the different competitions.
Yeah, one question in the chat there, Tom, that I think is worth bringing up, kind of from a process perspective. So parents, teachers, grandparents, whatever, help the kids carry everything in and into the staging area. Then everybody sits down. There's the 8-minute performance. And then after the 8-minute performance is over, the judges are going to come and talk to the kids, along with their props and sets and vehicles and all their stuff, and have the kids kind of talk to the judges about it, so we can get kind of a better understanding of their solution. Once the judges are finished talking to the kids, then the parents and teachers and coaches and grandparents or whoever can come out and help them carry all of the stuff out of the room and back to the car or whatever. Okay.
Now, I'm going to mention that a little bit later, also to reinforce what Randy just said. Let me get back to the presentation.
There's one more question on cost here, Tom,
Okay.
before we do that. That it says, is it correct that items like cardboard boxes and other items pulled out of the recycle bin have zero cost? So the anything that would generally be considered trash has zero cost. Okay. So anything that people typically just throw away or recycle, whether that's a milk carton, a cardboard box, things like that, those are zero cost, and you do not need to list those items on the cost form. Okay. If it's just trash. Anything else that you know, if a judge looked at it and said, yeah, I wouldn't really consider that to be trash, then it has to be on the cost so form somewhere. And again, you can use garage sale prices or flea market prices or whatever if it's a used item. If it is something that was purchased brand new, then you should include the cost that you spent on it, whatever it was that you purchased. Okay.
The next item, do we need a membership sign? And the answer is, yeah, there is a membership sign, and that helps us know, you know, exactly who we're, you know, who we're we are judging. There's information about the membership sign in the program guide on pages 41 and 47. There's a special note there. The membership number is no longer needed. If you've participated in Odyssey in the past, then you know, you also knew, you know, that you also had to include your membership number. You don't have a membership number anymore because we're not at the headquarters level. They're not, you know, they're not, we're not planning for that. So But if you're for example, Mills Park has a number of teams, both the elementary school and the middle school. If you're a team A, then you need to put Mills Park team A. If you're a team B, you need to put team B. So whatever your membership name is does have to go on that membership sign. And there are some other requirements about the team sign. Again, pages 41 and 47 will tell you about that. I would also, from a program reminder perspective, and Randy's, Randy's alluded to this, and also Lexi, some aspects of this. Just make sure that now, as a coach, you're communicating with parents about the tournament schedule, what time you need to be there, lunch, snacks, all that kind of stuff. Just that's something that, yeah, parents want to know that, as where they need to be and when they need to be there. And so just use that as part of your preparation over the next couple of weeks, is keeping your parents, team member parents, in the loop.
Yeah, there's a question in the chat. If they already included a membership number on their sign, is that okay? Yes, you can put anything on that membership sign you want. The only thing we require that to be on there is the membership name. And as Tom said, be sure if you are a team A, B, C, whatever, to include that team A or B or whatever on the sign. But other than that, you can add anything you want.
Right.
Yeah, and we're going to send out a lot of information about this, but since Tom brought up food, we have multiple kids that are allergic to peanuts and tree nuts this year. And so we are asking that everyone do their best to keep all peanuts and tree nuts out of any food that you bring onto campus with you this year. We understand that's it's not possible to be 100% nut free, but we're trying to do our best to make it as close as possible for their safety.
Thanks, Lexi. I had a feeling you were going to mention that, because obviously there's been a lot of chatter amongst our planning folks. So yeah, just be sensitive to that.
Yeah, there's a question in the chat there, Tom. Do parents come with us to the areas for spontaneous and problem areas? You want to take that one?
Well, I'm going to get to that. I'm
Okay.
gonna get, but I will take it, but not now, because we're still, and again, I mentioned the thing, props, costumes, where are they? You'd be surprised what, and maybe not, that on tournament day, it's like, oh, where's the props? I thought you had it. Well, I thought you had it, and then it's not there. So just as a coach, this is one thing you can do. You can ask your team members to, who wants to be responsible for this, and just make sure everything gets there on tournament day. I would encourage you to, as far as preparation go, I've mentioned this before, reread the program guide, and especially the chapters 3 through 6. Just browse through them, and that will help you prepare for March 1st. So just a reminder to kind of browse through that again. And then I will leave. I've already mentioned this also, but just make sure you're in touch with your judge, that there's training on February 15th. We need a lot of judges, and just make sure that they are aware, that they need to be at training a week from today. And there's also, every team is assigned is asked to provide a volunteer that works for a certain number of hours during the day. So, you can check with them too, and make sure that they're aware of their commitment, to the process.
Yeah. And I'll jump in again and say there is a penalty if we don't have a judge or a volunteer from you. It is not too late to tell me someone if you have someone. I've tried to get in touch with everyone if you don't. So if you didn't hear from me and you haven't provided one, check your spam and your junk and reach out to me and we'll fix it. Penalties do occur if you say you have someone and they don't confirm and they don't show up to judges training. that is still on you guys, and we hate doing it. I try really, really, really hard not to give penalties. Get in touch with me, tell me what's going on, but we can't pull together 100 judges. So to make it fair, we ask everyone, and we've had a lot of teams just be like, meh, I'm not going to do it. So that's why there's a statewide penalty system. We hate it, in case I didn't
Yeah,
say that.
we
We
believe
hate
me, as a region board, we spend a lot of time. In the past, we've spent a lot of time talking about this process, but
and the state board.
we don't want to penalize, but it's not fair to everybody else who has worked hard to provide the judge and the volunteer. If other teams don't, so. All right.
So there was a question in the chat about, what do the teams do between the end of the performances and the award ceremony? So our last performance of the day starts at 3:05 p.m. That means that's going to be done at 3:25 p.m. And we're going to start lining your teams up. Well, actually, correct me if I'm wrong, but probably around 3:30 in preparation for the award ceremony starting at 4, right?
That's correct. And there's going to be a piece of paper with a number on it in your team packet that you'll pick up to do. It's going to be, I'm going to do reverse alphabetical order this year because I try to make it so that the poor teams with the W names can go first sometimes. But yeah, there'll be a number in there so you guys don't have to be like, well, A, B, C, D, E. Yeah, there'll be a number so to help you line up as a membership, as a school, as a whatever your membership is under, not necessarily as a team. So all of Mills Park Middle will be together, for example,
Yeah,
with their
there was,
11.
yeah, there was. I'm sorry, like I said, there was one other question in the chat, and it was on the regarding the schedule, and that there's a number on the schedule. So the scheduling software still thinks that all of you have a membership number when you really don't anymore, and it forced us to put a number in there. But you can safely ignore that on the schedule. That's just for our internal use. It doesn't mean a thing to you or your teams at this point.
Tournament day. Expect lots of energy. If you've been there as a coach or even as a parent in the past, you know what I mean. And if you haven't, this is your first time as a coach being there. It's organized chaos, by design in some ways, but there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of teams moving around. And back and forth and in and out of the high school and moving between venues, the long term and the spontaneous. And it's really fun to watch, but just be aware that you need to stay focused on your own team, but just know that there's a lot of activity in the school. So just be aware of that. Manage team and parent expectations. There's going to be kids that are real happy with how things go. There's going to be team members that, they feel like they didn't do as well as they could have, or wanted to. So just stay focused, watch your teams, be aware of the other teams around you, and they're moving in and out. So just, take some time to talk to your students and team members and parents about, what's going to be going on during the day, with the focus being, hey, w encourage them for their participation and their performance, no matter, what it turned out to be or how it was scored. This is about the kids. On March 1st, so keep your focus there. Talked a little bit about this earlier, but let's get into more specifics about how things flow for you during the day, both long term and then spontaneous. So the long term competition logistics. I probably should have started with the second point. So I'm going to do that. All teams, you unload your props, backdrops, vehicles, whatever, about 30 to 45 minutes ahead of time. We don't want you there earlier than that, because there are going to be team, unless you're team one, at 8 o'clock or whatever it is, on your schedule, there are going to be other teams around you, both coming in and out. So we need to manage the flow, of that. So just plan to drop everything off about, no earlier than 30 minutes, and 30 to 45 minutes. If you're a problem four team, I get to that point number one and go back up a little bit. You have an extra step that you have to get your structure has to be weighed in. So just be aware of that on your schedule. That's an extra step for our balsa wood friends, that look at what time you're supposed to be at weigh in, and kind of and be there 10 minutes ahead of time. As I mentioned already, be careful and mindful of the surroundings. There's a lot of stuff going on. And we try to, as a region board, we try to manage that in terms of, we're like air traffic controllers, if you want to think of it in that respect. But you just be aware of other teams coming and going around you. For long-term, arrive at check-in. Remember, we've mentioned the staging judge. There's going to be a staging judge as getting you ready as part of that air traffic control. And they're going to be checking forms and shoes and asking safety questions and so forth. So you want to be around the staging, the actual staging area, about 20 minutes before your competition time. Parents, as Randy already mentioned, families, friends can help transport all the way into the staging area, so they can move stuff in. Once you're in the getting ready right before we say team begin, that's when parents and everybody else, coaches, have to back away. But know that all the way in and all the way out is you can move as much of that stuff as you want, and as much of the stuff as the team members want you to touch. Sometimes they get pretty protective, and rightly so. So just be aware of what the team wants to do. You do the check-in, you go into staging, and then the staging judge will help with that. They'll be directing, and just pay attention to the judging team, and do what they say, and then they'll the staging area the staging judge will get you in, and then you'll be ready. And the timekeeper says, "Judges, are you ready? Team, are you ready? Team, begin." And then, as I mentioned, that's when the last part of the magic happens, as we see the team present their solution. Again, this is long term. Randy, do you want to pull up the map?
Yep.
I embedded it in the presentation, but I think Randy has a better version.
I do. Hang on.
You want me to stop sharing, or can you do that from where you are?
I can. Hang on.
I want to
Give me
take
1 minute.
I want to take just a couple of minutes. I'm not sure we've ever done this at this presentation before, is actually go over the map, which you have available. This map is on ncome.org when you go to the link for the tournament. And this is another example of, the amazing amount of work that Randy and Lexi have done to help you as coaches and teams, get through the day, with success. The nice thing is that, again, everything's happening in the high school, but you can look at this later. I want to go over just a couple of things. Can you see my arrow moving around, or is that Randy? You've got the control, right? There you go. So the main entrance, there's The Wakefield Pines Drive and Old Falls in the news. That's what you're aiming for. You get into the facility. I mean, if you're if you're a parent and an observer, whatever, you enter Wakefield, you enter the high school off of Wakefield Pines, all right? And there you can see the main entrance. That's where your check-in is going to be, is right inside the main entrance. And then all the venues are identified with the grid that's on the right side. The one thing I want to spend a little bit of time on is prop drop. Okay. Again, this helps us as organizers to make sure the flow is going properly. You can only get to that prop drop area where the moving trucks are, those blue boxes, off of Old Falls of the News Road. You'll go in there, there's a big parking lot. There'll be 40, whatever the number of buses that they have. The buses will be there. You can't park there, but that gets you into the prop drop area. And you see up in the kind of the prop drop for problem three, we have different prop drop areas identified for each problem. And there are four prop drop areas, right? And so just be aware of where we want you to go to offload all your materials. And this is important because you don't want to be moving things in. I mean, we want you to avoid moving things in through that main entrance because everybody else is going to be coming in there. And so just be aware of where those identified prop drop areas are. There'll be signs outside helping you know where that is. But the idea is here is that you come in and drop your props off, and then you can see those arrows that take you back out all the way around to Wakefield Pines, and then you can come around and park and then come in. That's our attempt at helping things move well for you. And you would also ideally drop your props off, and then when you're done, you go back out that way with the team to get the other to get your props and vehicles and whatever you have back into your car, and then you can move them the car back to the parking lot. Again, it's a prop drop off and then load back in. And know that this is part of the coming and going, and there's going to be teams all day long, probably from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. going in and out. So just be mindful of that process and where how we want you to move your stuff in and out. Lexi has done a great job. There's back where that right when you come in off of Old Falls of the News, we're going to have some food trucks. They'll be around that that prop drop entrance. And I'll stop right there. And Lexi, anything else that while we have the map up that we want to remind coaches about?
Yeah, I just sent an email to Andy, who makes this beautiful map every year, that I forgot to tell him where problem four weigh-in is. And it's in the band room, which is, if you're looking at the map in this angle, you see where the problem four icons are. It's another hallway to the left from this viewpoint. So I just emailed him. He'll update that and we'll get that loaded on the website soon. Apologies about that.
Yeah, I would imagine Mark Blake would be communicating that separately to just the problem for people. So, but yeah, good reminder. I missed that too. But yeah, any questions about that to the group?
So, sorry, is the prop drop, when we drop off the props, you said to not get to the staging area 40, or is it the staging area that we shouldn't get to before 30 minutes or 45 minutes, or is the prop drop in the staging area a different place, or when should we do the prop drop versus drag everything down to the staging area, or is that one thing? I'm sorry.
Yeah, good question. So The prop job is when you're just getting stuff out of your vehicles, and you bring it in, and again, there's going to be a hallway set up. There'll be signs saying here's where you go, and so then once you get it there, then the staging judge will start moving you into where you do the actual check-in. Right? So you drop your props off, get them ready, and then believe me, you'll have judges, you'll have people coming and looking for you. And saying, all right, Mills Park or the Franciscan School, where are you? And it's like the coach, as a coach, here we are. And then they'll start moving you in to where you need to be. But your first step is to get your stuff out of your vehicles or wherever into, a hallway, whatever it might be inside. And ready to look for the staging. They'll come and get you. They'll be looking for you. That help, Lauren?
Yeah, thank you.
All right. All that's going to be just look on the website.
Okay, I'm going to stop sharing that, Tom. And you can go back. Natalie, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, I just to piggyback on that last question, is there an ideal time before? Because I know we should be at the staging area. I think it said like 20 minutes before we're supposed to perform. But I think in the past, there's been like, in order to not clog up the hallways, you guys didn't want us to drop off our props more than X amount of time. And I can't remember
That's
what that amount of time is.
the 30 to 45 minutes when you get your
Okay.
stuff in. And you're right, it's going to be a lot of moving in and out. And but we just want you to be ready, in the hallways, whatever, 30 to 45 minutes.
Okay. 30th. Okay, that's perfect. Thank you. And I had another question about the actual tournament site. I don't know. I don't feel like this is a clarification, but for this is our first time being in the theater. Is the theater, do they have steps that go right down to the audience, or do you have to go backstage and down steps?
Well, I'm the problem captain for that, and I am planning. I'm going to get information to the problem five teams about exactly how all
Perfect.
that works. I can't. Yeah, this is the first time I've been a problem captain for that in that venue. I think so. I've got to kind of reacquaint. But the problem five teams will have information about how all that goes.
Perfect. That's awesome. Thank you.
And Claire, I see you had your hand raised.
Yes. So my question, and the map is a really good visual, and I feel like it's clear, but I just can't let it go. The drop-off areas, that's like a there's a door outside, and you're suggesting we pull up to that door.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
And then what will
Exactly right.
happen? Good question.
No, it's not, but
No,
thank
no,
you.
no, 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 no. That is because and you drop off, and that's all you're doing. You're not parking. It's like get all the stuff out, get it ready, and then there'll be people helping you to get it where it needs to go. I would also suggest that suggestion. Have be We don't know what the weather's going to be like. Lexi's great at organizing and Randy, but we don't have any control over the weather, and it could be raining.
Oh gosh, yeah.
So have a tarp. Have just be ready. That's why we allow
That's
team
a great point.
parents, coaches, grandparents to help you move that stuff in. So
I don't have control over the weather. You're just telling
Oh no.
Yeah, that's
Well,
above our
we'll send
pay
some
grade.
angry emails afterwards if
I do
the
anti-rain dances every year, but we've had way too much good luck. I just waiting for it to not pan out.
So just,
Tom, real quick, I just pulled up Google Maps of this, and I think this helps. You can certainly do that. If you go to Google Maps and just search on Wakefield High School, you can bring this view up. Just a couple of things. Tons of parking up here, kind of at the top and the upper right of that. The school is here, and if you kind of look down here, this is that road that we were talking about for prop drop off. there is no place to park there. So you pull down that road, you pull up to the door where you're going to drop your stuff off, get the stuff out of the car, have some parents and whoever else help do that, get it into the school, and then somebody takes the car back around to the parking area and parks there. This is the bus lot that we talked about, and you'll see, on Saturday, 3 weeks from now, you'll see a whole bunch of buses parked there. That's the lot you want to go in and kind of go past all the buses right down here to this corner, and that takes you down this little road that goes behind the school. Okay, is that helpful?
Very, thank you.
Yeah,
So
and we
the kids come in though to help unload, and then they stay there until someone says, come to the staging area.
yeah, so once they get inside that door, they're going to kind of go down the hallway towards wherever their venue is, and there'll be plenty of signs inside the school to direct you there. You will see lots of other teams with their stuff in the hallway. We will have some volunteers around, and the staging area judge will help with this. We try, because the hallways are relatively narrow, we try to get people to put all their stuff on one side of the hall and leave an open path for people to walk on the other side of the hall. And then the staging area judge will find you, and they will help you with, okay, we're ready for you to move your stuff into the venue and into the staging area or whatever. That they're also, there if you have questions about anything. Another thing that I'll bring up about if you have questions on tournament day, we are really, really fortunate to have the local area ham radio operators assisting us on tournament day. So Tom will have one assigned to him. I'll have one assigned to me. Lexi has one assigned to her. You'll see these people with kind of walkie-talkies on their hip and a headset with a microphone on. Those are our ham radio operators, and they are our communication folks for tournament day. If you have a question, find any one of those folks and tell, I need to talk to so and so. I need to talk to the problem captain for problem one. I need to know where this is or whatever. And they can get in touch with us directly, and we can come help you. If you have any issues with your venue and your team and getting ready to perform, every one of the problems has what we call a problem captain. I'm the problem captain for problem one. Tom is the problem captain for problem five. The PCs are there. A lot of our job on tournament day is to make sure your day is going well. So if you're having trouble, if you're not sure about something, you need help with something, you have questions about anything, just come find one of us and we will help you.
Yeah, I mean, at the risk of tempting fate, I mean, this would include things like, hesitate to even say this. Hey, we're on Highway 98 and we have a flat tire, and we're not going to make it. It's like, okay, we'll figure out. Just be safe, get here. We'll figure out a way to fit you in. Those kinds of things. Or I mean, I'll stop there because I don't want to cause any false alarms, but we want you to be successful, and we're going to do whatever we can to help do that, within reason. So, yeah.
There's a question about a separate check-in when you first arrive. Yes, there is the registration check-in desk, ask all the questions desk right when you walk in the front doors of the high school. You can't miss it. Come check in, preferably before you compete, because that helps us know that you're there. But there's nothing in that packet that is critical for you to compete. So if you're running late, come back later. But we'll have a packet that is going to have certificates for all the kids that show participation, a map, a printed map for you guys, coach name badges, some other information, your parade lineup number, probably something else I'm missing. That's where you'll get any forms that you're missing. Sometimes we have someone that checks forms if you're like, do we have everything? anything glaringly obviously missing, we can help you with that. It's generally where I am. If everything's going well, that's where I hang out. If I'm not there, yeah, first aid will be there also. So it's
Sales,
helpful. Sorry.
pins, sales.
Yes, the sales table was right next to it. We have some really cool pins this year. I'm really excited about our Eastern pin, especially. It's some really cool owls. So we will have a pin raffle also where you sorry, something flashed across my screen and I lost my train of thought. Pin towels with like I put 10 pins on them. You enter for like $1 a ticket, and we have usually have like three of them. And at the award ceremony, yes, you have to be there. We will raffle them off. And the sales for that go to helping keep us alive. Us being NCOME, because COVID hit us hard. So, but it's cool pins. So many of our people, Randy and Tom and Marge, they go to Worlds and they trade with people. And then they're like, here's all these pins we've had sitting around. Randy literally gives me oodles, in his words, of pins. So there's really cool, even some international pins that show up on those if your kids are into pins. If you don't know what I'm talking about, OM pins are a big deal. It's trading is huge at Worlds. They have giant tents set up. Regions, states, teams bring in these cool pins that they design every year, and it's a lot of fun. There's a Facebook group about it if you're on Facebook and want to look at the insanity of pins. And
Thanks,
your
Lexi.
kids will maybe hopefully save them all the way up until they're in their 40s, like some people I know.
All right, let's I'm gonna keep going here because we've asked a lot of questions. You know, there's a Q&A session at the end, but you guys haven't been shy with asking them already, so I mean we're in good shape. Yeah, this is why we do this. Somebody asked a question earlier just a little bit ago about let's say you don't let's say you don't do spontaneous until 11 a.m. and your long term is 1:30 p.m. What do you do? Well, that's up to you. I mean, you can, depending on how you think your team will respond to having downtime. I would encourage you to come earlier and watch other performances, but particularly in other problems, and just kind of get an idea of how other teams addressed their problem. Just enjoy what other teams have done. So that's kind of up to you. You can come whenever you want, as long as you're there and far enough in advance of your first event to not, not miss it or be behind schedule. All right, I'm going to move on with the rest of stuff. Again, we'll still have some time. Randy already mentioned this. Randy, can you see tournament day at Showtime? Is that up there?
No, you're not sharing yet, Tom. You need to go ahead.
All right. Well, all right. Let's see here. How's that? Are we there?
Yep, you're there.
Okay. Randy already mentioned this, but this is important. So you've competed long term, right? And everybody at the end of the 8 minutes, so now what happens is the judges will come up and talk to the team members and ask them questions. Mostly, it's about their performance, but remember they have those forms, the long-term problem, the team list, the style form, and they're going to be talking to your team members. They have just a couple of minutes to do that, 2 to 3, 2 to, I don't know, 2 to 4 minutes. We wish you had more time, but we don't. We just don't. But that's the time for the judges to talk to the team members. We don't talk to coaches. We don't talk to grandma and grandpa, older siblings. That is the time that we are talking to the team members. And the judges are, they'll be kind, but they'll be firm, say, nope, it's not ready. We're not ready to talk to you, and we're not ready to we appreciate that you're ready to be there to help move things out. We'll let you know when that can happen. So only the team members communicate with the judges. Then you move stuff out. Make sure you celebrate your team's performance. Take time to just say, great job. No matter how well or how poorly you think they did, or how well or poorly they think they performed. Just this is about, trying to do the best you can. And so just take time to celebrate. The scores for long term and your style will generally be available about 45 minutes, after you perform. Could be later. Generally, it's not going to be earlier. But just be a what you need to do as a coach is come, and you'll be told all this in staging. All right, so you don't have to remember this or write it down. You'll be told by in the staging that you come and see the head judge. That person will be identified in staging. It's like, hey, afterwards, when you get your scores, it's that guy or that gal over there that's going to go over the scores with you. So, it's not going to happen immediately. It's, no earlier than 30 minutes, generally 45 minutes.
Yeah, Tom, that they will get a text message from us when their scores are ready.
You'll get a, as long as you've given the staging judge your right cell phone number, and that you have your phone turned on afterwards, you're going to get a text saying, hey, your scores are ready. You can come and get them whenever you want, but no earlier than when you get, you're going to get a text message. That will be your signal that it's available, that scores are available. All right. Spontaneous. Someone asked about this earlier. So the spontaneous is the area, and again, it's going to be marked on your map. And when you come in that front entrance, the spontaneous area is real close to check-in, but to the left. And it's always been there, and it's a great area for us to use. But there's a check-in area right there off the lobby, and just come about 10 minutes before you're scheduled to perform, and just let that person know, hey, Forest View Elementary School, problem three, division one is here. And they'll say, great. And then someone will come after that, someone comes and gets you, or they'll take you to a what we call a holding area. The coach can go in with the team. All the team members should go. And then you'll sit around in there until the judging team is ready for you. And then someone will come into that holding room and get the team to go back to the room where they'll do their problem. At that point, it's just the team. And it's all the team can go. The coach doesn't go. And then they'll perform, and then they'll come back out, and you can be waiting there. You'll be instructed by the check-in people, what you can do. But that's a pretty quick process. That the holding area to the competition room and back out, it might be, I don't know, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, something like that. But you'll be in, just make sure all you have to do is be on time for being there at check-in. And then you'll be instructed on where to wait and what to do and so forth. You're always interested in what type of problem that they did. Nope, don't ask them, the team members, because there'll be other teams in your problem and division that are competing and doing the same problem, and we don't want to give any advantage to anybody. It's spontaneous, it's a secret, and they need to not talk about that. The scores for spontaneous, you'll know after the tournament. Unlike, the long term and style where you'll get those scores, you won't know what your spontaneous score is until after the tournament concludes. All right. Let me just
Yeah, so we will have the scores online on our Eastern Region website the evening of the tournament day, probably, you know, 7 o'clock p.m. something like that. We'll have all of the scores. So you will receive your scores for your team, as Tom said, for your long-term problem and for your style. You won't see your spontaneous score. But then that evening, probably sometime around 7 p.m., you'll see all of those scores for all of the teams online on the Eastern Region website. Go to our local tournament section there, and the scores will be posted there.
Final word. I encourage you to watch other teams and problems. When I was a coach, our teams, I would always encourage them, like if we were Division One, Problem Two, I would encourage them to go watch the division, the next higher division up, just to kind of see how they did it. How they interpreted the problem requirements, and then watch other problems. It's fun, and it's a good way to just you can learn from that, and just enjoy the day. So watch other problem watch other teams compete. The
And Tom, we have what we call a NCOM passport that will be in your registration packets and available at the information desk. This is just a little document that your kids can carry around to the various sites, and they get their passport stamped when they watch one of the performances. And then if they collect 3 stamps on that, they can take that to our tournament sales, and we'll give them a little free souvenir. So it's kind of a little fun activity for them. And again, that document will be in your registration packets.
That's what I forgot to say.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a great, it's a great accumulation. It's just a great time to celebrate, and there's a little bit, there's a relief, obviously, to the day. So just enjoy what other people have, other teams have done. The award ceremony is going to be in the gym. This is where Problem One will be. That's the venue, the same, the high school. It's the big gym. There's also an auxiliary gym, but know that it's going to be in the main gym. Again, you'll be helped with all that. People will direct you. The approximate start time of the award ceremony I have is 4. I think that's still accurate, right, Lexi?
I'm so sorry. Say that again.
The award ceremony is scheduled to start at 4, right?
Yes. And we try to keep it to an hour. And when we're done, very nicely get out because they will charge us more and we are very hungry at that point. Yeah. And a couple other things about the award ceremony, too. We give out Omer Awards, which is for anyone who is, it can be a team, it can be a coach, it can be a parent, it can be a kid, it can be a judge, like anybody can nominate anybody if someone who embodies the spirit of Odyssey of the Mind, who did something amazing throughout the day, or throughout the year, there'll be a QR code at the registration desk so you can fill out a form online, as much detail as possible. If you just say this person is awesome, they're not going to get an Omer Award, unfortunately, because that's not enough information for me. But we also have other awards that get given out, and it's a lot of fun. And we honor graduating seniors, and the primary teams all get a special award. And we usually have the high school seniors present those to them. So it's a really nice moment. It's also why we put primary kids at the end of the day so that they don't have to be there all day long if they don't have to be.
So again, at 4 p.m. is, we don't have the awards ceremony until we know all the scores, and depending on how that goes, but just aim for 4 p.m. start, and you'll be get instructions about what to do and how to get involved, stay involved with that award ceremony. Make sure you have fun, celebrate your efforts. And this year, know that that the top three teams in each problem and division will advance, have the opportunity to advance to the state tournament, which is March 22nd in Jacksonville, North Carolina. There, and I say Jacksonville because it's like a complex. There's a high school, middle school, a convention area that is all in the same area. So it's just know that it's in Jacksonville.
Yeah, if you just Google Jacksonville High School in Jacksonville, North Carolina, you'll find it, and you can bring it up on Google Maps and so forth. There's also information on the state tournament on the Eastern Region website, NCOME.org. There's a separate section there for the state tournament, and as more information becomes available for the state tournament, you'll find it all there.
Right. Thanks, Randy. Let me see here. All right. I know we're right at 11:30. I'm going to be sticking around a little bit longer. Randy is too, maybe Lexi, who knows? And Lexi is, as she indicated, she's
Yeah,
got a lot. Yeah.
there's one question in the chat. But so is it better to check in before or after prop drop off, or send the team there? So the main check in when you first walk into the front doors of the high school, check in there whenever you arrive. As soon as you get there, go check in there, get your registration packet, and then when it's 45 minutes ish before your long-term performance time, that's when you're going to want to get the car down there to the prop drop-off area, get all of your stuff out of the cars and into the building and so forth. And so you also said send one team there and one coach. You don't really, if you follow that process, I think you'll be fine, of just check in to the main check-in area at the entrance to the high school when you get there, and just check in with the staging area judge when it's 45 minutes ish before your long-term performance and you're starting to unload your props and get all of your stuff in there. It will be fine. It really will.
It's a real practical application of that is, I mean, I've had, and I'm sure Randy has had this too, that you're in staging and it's like you're looking for a team, and it's like they're not, it's 10 minutes before they're supposed to perform and they're missing an action. And you're the first place that I check when I haven't been, as a problem captain and I'm trying to help the staging judge, is I'm going to check with the check-in and say, hey, have they even showed up? So, if they're showed up, if they've shown up, it's like, okay, well, that helps. They're in the area somewhere, it appears. So that, just go to check-in, let us know you're there.
Yeah,
And
and also as part of the registration information, you provided us with your cell phone number. That's one of the reasons why we might need to use that, right? If it's like 10 minutes before your long-term time and we can't find you, we might try calling or texting your cell phone.
And sorry, is it so do parents mostly attend as well with their kids? Because I'm just concerned about like, okay, I've got to go here, but I've got this group of kindergartners and I don't want to like, so I'm just trying to think of like wrangling and also getting what we need done.
Typically, your parents are, once you kind of get all the stuff out of the vehicles and into the building at the prop drop off, then your parents can go to the spectator seating area for your problem, and they can watch the teams that are coming up before you, right? And I would encourage them to do that. I think it's kind of fun to see some of the other teams perform. There's plenty of seating at the venues for them to do that. I don't think we're going to be super tight on seating at any of them this year. So we should be in good shape for them to be able to watch some of the other teams perform.
There's a question in the chat about questions the teams should prepare ahead of time. The question suggested to ask usually is like, how did you make this? Who made this? So if you are in the vehicle problem, the kids who made the vehicle, they'll ask them how they made it, or especially if something didn't work, they're going to ask them like, how should it have worked? How did you put this together? Just general questions. There's no trick questions. It's very much, we're interested. The judges are all very nice. So they shouldn't concern, they just know. And like generally there's some kids who are going to step up and talk. That's fine. If this kid is shy, they don't have to be the one to talk as the shy kid. Trust me, I know it can be terrifying. I was there. I've done this. And the other thing I do want to say is when the timekeeper starts reading the announcement and they tell the doors to close, the doors will not open to let anyone in at that point. So tell the parents, tell the grandparents, if you are late, you will not be allowed in. And yes, parents can help with kid wrangling. We don't let anybody come in. You can leave for an emergency, of course. Obviously, we are not locked in there, but we try to make it as controlled an environment and as fair an environment for all the teams as possible. So there are people at the doors. The volunteers you provided will be at the door saying, sorry, no dice.
Yeah, there's a question in the chat. Can parents help with the group for kid wrangling, or do they have to go sit elsewhere? No, they can certainly help with logistics and getting your kids where they need to be when they need to be there. Once they get to spontaneous, then only the coach goes in with the kids from there. But if it's helping get to the spontaneous area, that's fine. If you're getting stuff out of the car and into the hallway, and parents want to help with that and help with the kids, that's fine. Once the staging area starts checking the team in and getting their paperwork and reviewing all of that and that sort of thing, there's not really a lot for the parents to do at that point because you're literally just outside the door to going into to the performance area. And so that's probably the right time for the parents to go ahead and proceed to the spectator seating.
Right. And Randy, along those lines, most venues will have like team entrances and spectator entrances, so that that we try to help that out, help that process out. And but as a coach, that's part of your managing expectations, and direct how that will work for your specific team is, set those expectations and communicate to your parents and other spectators about how you want this to work for your team. Again, I the questions, don't forget, look for emails from Lexi and Randy. In between now and March 1st, I know that for problem five, I'm beginning the process that I'm going to now start communicating just with the problem five teams about, I'll send information about the venue and kind of going out and coming in and, pictures maybe of what it looks like. And I know other problem captains do that also. So but ncome.org is the best place to look for information. And then we also have a Facebook and a X or Twitter.
We don't have X anymore, and I've been
No.
completely remiss in doing anything with social media, but we'd
All right.
love for you to post about your tournament day experience and tag us in your social media. We love that. I have to run, you guys, but thank you all for joining. Email me. I promise I will get back to you. I do work a normal 9-to-5 job, so during the week, it'll be in the evenings. I'm not ignoring you, I promise. Come say hi at the tournament. Bye.
Bye, Alexei. Thanks for everything. And Natalie, I see you have your hand up.
Yes, Tom, when you send out the information about problem five, will it have which side of the stage the staging area will be on?
I hope so. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm trying to arrange a visit out there. Causes is, I mean, I gotta just arrange that and then I'll send out information. But you'll know, my plan is that you'll know that long in advance.
Okay. I told them to be prepared for either side, but
Yep.
you know.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay.
Other questions? I mean, if people want to leave, that's fine. I'm going to be here for a little while. I know Randy will. We love this stuff, Randy, and I mean, we all love this. I love this time of year. I used to enjoy it as a coach. Just don't enjoy the journey, whatever that is, trials and tribulations. But we are looking forward to seeing you on March 1st. Randy, why don't you stop the recording if you have it?
Well, Claire has a question, I think, because she
Okay.
has her hand raised.
I do. So I'm sorry to ask so many logistical questions. I'm a little like Mr. Magoo at these events. I used to do like high school forensics, and I was always, lost and everything. So I'm just a little trepidatious. But I had a question about kind of this downtime between the award ceremony and when the students perform. Is there because again, I'm doing like the little ones, and is there like an outside area near the high school if we brought like a ball or something where we could kind of play while we waited for this time? Because I'm hesitant to let people leave the scene and trying to think of things we could do in the meantime.
So you have a primary team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's not going to be much time in
Oh,
between
okay.
your long-term performance and, because they're going to come do their style. They're going to do the long-term. Then we have a special award ceremony just for primary. And then they're sort of done for the day. We do that intentionally because for little kids, sometimes, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. is kind of too long of a day for them, right? So if you look at that schedule, if you look at the primary schedule, the spontaneous times and their competition times are right around kind of lunchtime, right? So they go to spontaneous, they go to long term. Then we're going to do their award ceremony just for them. They don't need to stay till 4 o'clock to.
Got okay. That's where I got lost. Okay.
Yeah, we do that for primary for that very reason because like I said, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for, K through two is that's just an awful long day.
That makes more sense, and I'm sorry I misunderstood that.
No, totally fine. That's why we have this, by the way, is for you guys to be able to ask those kind of questions of us. All right. Anything else? Okay. Well, again, I hope you have a fantastic time. I hope your teams do as well. All of us on the Eastern Region Board, put a lot into making sure that we provide as fun of an experience for them as we can. And that said, again, if there's anything going on tournament day that you need help with and you're not sure about something or you've got an issue, come find one of us. Come find me. I'll be in the main gym the entire day at the Problem One site. And again, any of the ham radio operators, those guys are just absolutely fantastic. And they help us with communication. And, just find one of them and say, hey, I need to talk to Randy about something. And that they will be able to find me and just come see me and let me know what's going on and we'll do whatever we need to do to help, okay?
Well, Natalie, did you have a question or were you just waving?
You were muted, but I think you were just waving by. So all good. So again, thanks so much for joining. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording now. And we will post it on the website later today.